Okay, as I said earlier, if we could all just try and stay in the seats while the speakers are speaking, and with that, I'd like to hand the meeting over to Victor.
Hi, my name is Victor Manadi.
Hiya, Victor.
I just need to say, first of all, that I'm really, really, really nervous. I've been coming to meetings for 20 years. I don't think I've ever been this nervous, really. Do you know what I mean? I'm terrified. But Jay just... thanks for the awe. Jay just whispered into my ear that you're amongst friends. So please be friendly, I guess. And, you know, sort of more importantly... Sorry, I need to face the microphone. Is anybody at the first meeting? Yes. Was that a yes?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to you. I was just thinking, before the meeting started properly, you know, like, when there's somebody new in the room, you know, people often say, you know, you're the most important person in the room. My ego doesn't really agree with that, but what I do know is that we need you, whoever you are down there. So, you know, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. I've been trying to focus and centre myself because, you know, I've rushed to get here. I got totally lost. So I feel like I've not been able to settle myself, you know. So forgive me if my share is all over the show, do you know what I mean? I suppose, in short, what I think would make sense was if I shared a little bit about my using. Not because I want to impress anybody with my using, but because it's not impressive. But just to kind of maybe for the new person to just to give some identification, really. But I don't want to sort of spend the next 15 minutes or whatever talking about my drug use, because it doesn't really serve anybody on a deep level, I believe, anyway. As I said before, I've been coming to meetings since '92 in Manchester. And the reason that I came to meetings is because I don't think I had very long left to live, really. You know, I think I was... Actually, I won't say how old I was, because I don't want you to know how old I am now, but I was in my 20s. I'm acting really camp as well. I'm not homophobic, I'm not gay either, but I just go camp. Did anybody think I was? I shouldn't have opened that one up, really. I always do that, and then you can't close it once it's open. I'm meeting my girlfriend in a bit, honestly. I am, look, I'm engaged. I'm engaged to a girl. That sounds really homophobic, but sorry, it sounds like... Oh God, my head's really gone now. And yeah, because where was I? I think I was saying about something about I was about to die. Is that what it was? Yeah, no. I forgot that. Say it again, 92.
Oh, you got,
yeah. And I was really desperate, and for a long time, I'd been looking for help. You know, because what had happened. For me, you know, I've heard people, like, when they do the shares and they talk about the childhood and stuff like that. I don't know if my childhood's got any relevance to what happened to me in later life. I don't have a clue. But what I do remember is that when I was about 15 years old, it was kind of like, metaphorically, you know, you get pushed out of the school, you know. And I went to a good school. I went to a grammar school, but I didn't believe that I would ever do anything with my life, so I never entertained the idea of going into education. It was like I was pushed out, and then suddenly there was this bridge, and it said, there was an arrow in it, and it said adulthood, manhood, this way. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, you know, I don't know how to do this, you know. And that coincided with me joining my first band, because I'm a musician, and that was my introduction to drugs. And what that gave me was kind of like, I don't know, it was just... It just gave me this thing where I thought, actually, maybe life's not going to be so scary after all. And I was thinking, and this before the meeting, and this isn't supposed to be offensive. There's a video for a song called, I think this song might be called "Window Licker" by Aphex Twin. And there's a scene where there's these you can see these women from behind dancing. It's not sexist, honestly. And they look absolutely beautiful, and it's you know, palm trees and glossy and. You know, you can kind of see them and they're dancing, you know, and it's all slow motion. And then they turn around and they're grotesque, hideous creatures for me, that's what my using was like. Initially, it seemed like, wow, do you know what I mean? This is wonderful, beautiful. Life is now going to make sense for me. But when I got up close and I had a proper look, it was like, oh dear, you're not very good looking, are you? But the thing is, that was the first of many relationships where I got in it. And it was really difficult and it was painful and I wanted to be dead, but I couldn't get out. And that went on for many years. And very quickly, probably for a few years, I was looking for help. And a big one for me was to do geographicals. And the first place I ever heard of Narcotics Anonymous was over in Australia in, I think, 1991, a few months before I came to my first meeting. I was that in that much denial. What happened was I'd gone there to do my rattle, you know, and to get as far away as the from the problem as I could, you know. I'm the problem, so, you know, obviously I couldn't. And I bumped into this woman after a few months and she said, I've seen you before. And I'm like, where? And she said, you were staying with Judy, weren't you, just around the corner? You were withdrawing off heroin. I was like, oh, God, yeah. And she said, my fella used to have a heroin problem, but he doesn't anymore. He goes to this place called Narcotics Anonymous now, and all he ever talks about is NA, 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 yeah? And I was in that much denial that I didn't think, wow, tell me more. I need to know about this thing. I said, wow, that's really good for him. I hope it all works out. Do you know what I mean? Seriously. I'm being serious. That's not supposed to be funny. I remember the moment being sat on this step, you know, and off she went, you know. But within a couple of months, somebody, it was a professional, told me about, 6 minutes, about Narcotics Anonymous. And that night, I came to my first meeting. And although I've been coming to meetings for 20 years, I haven't been clean for 20 years, far from it. And it's a very specific reason why. Not because Narcotics Anonymous and the 12-step program doesn't work, it's because I didn't work the 12-step program. There's a couple of people in the room that I've known for many, many years. Rachel. Me and Rachel used to live together, not in the biblical sense, just kind of Rachel was my lodgeress. And I've known Gary for a long time, so it's really good to see you guys because I feel a little bit safer, and Jay as well. And what happened with me was I kind of, when I first arrived here, I was a terrified human being. I didn't know how to live in this world, you know. I was scared of people. You know, one thing that I've learned since coming around, and I think when you first come around, it can be a bit like, well, hold on a second. I'm a very, very, my default setting is to be very, very selfish. And what that doesn't necessarily mean you can't have this, it's mine. What it means is that I tend to try and do things my own way, and I find it difficult to take guidance. And what happened was that ultimately my life ended up in an absolute mess. I was chatting to Jay about it. Today, you know, I had a really loving girlfriend. I had two very young children, and I had some really supportive people around me. But addiction was such a powerful force in my life that if you got between me and my drugs, it didn't matter who you were, you'd get hurt in some way, either physically or take what you had or try to at least, or if you were bigger than me, I'd manipulate you in some way to kind of get what you had. And what that did to me was it left me in a place from being like a 16-year-old, quite gregarious young guy who was having a great time and playing in bands. It took me from that to like living in one corner of a 3-bedroom flat in a place called Hume in Manchester, you know. And I kind of came into fellowship, and I didn't find it easy for lots of different reasons. I didn't have a clue, and I don't know what meetings are like here, and this is a resentment, I don't know, but at that time up north in the meetings, it was very much like group therapy, and this is not group therapy, I believe. This is something quite specific. It's a route from a place of isolation and sort of egocentricity to a place where I am part of the world, and the force and the power that's going on in my life is not my own. It's a collective thing, and maybe it's something even bigger than that. I'm still kind of working on that one. I once got to 9 years clean in fellowship, and we're chatting about it today. My life was in a real mess. Mentally, I was all over the show. I'd acquired some clean time, I'd acquired some stuff. I'd gone to university, I was working in television. And I don't know why I apologise. Thank you, Jay. I'd acquired some stuff, but inside I was pretty much the same. And it's very important to say that, for me, I believe that somebody who's got this disease, the disease of addiction, must change on the inside as well as the outside. It can't be, and I'm not saying this in a glib way, I've not read it, I lived this. I couldn't survive in this world by simply stopping taking drugs. Something much, much deeper had to happen, and the way that I thought had to change hugely. And I tried many different things to change the way that I thought, but none of it had worked. And when I relapsed after that night that I relapsed, what happened was I scored, and it's, you know, the way it kind of goes. 9 years, I hadn't been to this particular pub, pulled up in my car, the same dealers were stood outside 9 years down the line, you know what I mean? And I put the window down, and they didn't go, "What are you doing here? You've not used for 9 years. You're like a great example." What did they say? They said, what do you want? Do you know what I mean? And so I remember sitting for an hour. I loaded up the pipe. It was stone. And I sat there kind of just staring at it. Do you know what I mean? Sort of battling. And eventually, I picked it up and I lit it. It's a long time, 9 years, you know. And in that moment of euphoria, my head just said, "This is great, you know what I mean? All that NA bollocks, powerless, this is brilliant." That lasted 5 minutes, do you know what I mean? And for the next 2 years, I came close to death several times, you know. I'm clean again today. And what's happened since getting clean again is, hopefully Chrissy will talk more about this, because 15 minutes is kind of difficult to talk in depth about the programme. What's happened is that I'm going through a process of change. I'm not as fearful for a kickoff. I'm certainly not as selfish as I used to be. I have a belief in power beyond my own for a kickoff, and it's not female, which is very new for me. You know, I mean, a few nods from the fellas there, and it's not a man either for the ladies. Or back to homosexuality again, but. More will be revealed if they don't. I think what's on offer here for anybody that's new around, it's not just a way to stop using drugs. It's almost like a lobotomy, but much deeper, where we can go through an amazing change. The person that I am today is still very flawed in many ways, undoubtedly, yeah. But I'm very, very different to the person that I was even at 9 years clean. You know, it's and it feels really good that what's on offer is a route to a power beyond my own. Some people call it God. I've got a very religious girlfriend, and I tried it recently. I don't really think it's for me. If it's for you, that's great. But for newcomers, it doesn't have to be a religion at all. Do you know what I mean? It just, for me, has to be a power beyond my own. And through that power comes the ability to live in this world and be part of it, plugged into the people around me. Not only do I not want to use, I actually want to be alive today. And even at 9 years clean, I wanted to be dead. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And I've actually got 1 minute and 6 seconds left, but I'm going to be selfless and give those to Chrissy, because I'm that kind of guy. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.